Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Democrats across the country are breathing a little easier today. A lot of them were worried yesterday. Mark, what do you think is going to happen? Mark, is she going to be okay? I said she's going to destroy him. And she did. It was a beautiful moment. We don't know exactly how many Americans watched the debate last night. The figures have yet to come in. We expect them actually any moment. But we're hoping it's about 100 million Americans, which would be the largest watch debate in American history. I had very high expectations, I admit, for Hillary Clinton going in. I know how smart she is. I know how quick she is. I know how much she knows policy, how detailed she is. I had high expectations. Frankly, she exceeded them. I had low expectations for Donald Trump going in. I know how little he knows about policy. I know he's full of insults. But he actually did worse than my expectations. I want to hear what you think, though. So we're going to spend the entire hour talking about your thoughts and mine about the debate last night. And heck, if you don't agree with me that she won, well, you're wrong, but you're welcome to call in anyway at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. A poll taken right after the debate showed that 62% of debate watchers said she won, and only 27% of debate watchers said the Donald won. And that's, of course, smaller than his hardcore support, which ranges around 40%. And, of course, larger than hers as well. It was a beautiful evening. There's a lot I want to go over. I'm going to take my cue from the newspaper to remind me of certain things. But there really is a lot. By the way, I am broadcasting on Facebook if you want to see me. I just put my reading glasses on. There's so many aspects of the debate to discuss. Let me just give you my overall impressions. I really liked that she brought up the way that Donald Trump mistreats middle-class people. We've long talked about, the media's long talked about how, you know, how he's racist, how he's Islamophobic, how he hates Mexicans, how he, you know, has this horrible racist birther conspiracy, and in retweets, obviously racist things like false statistics, claiming, for example, at one point that 85% of whites were killed by blacks when 85% of whites are killed by whites. This is a guy whose whole being is racism, misogyny, xenophobia, Islamophobia, so forth. But he also hates poor people. He hates middle-class people. He hates people with small businesses. Basically, this is a guy who hates everyone except himself. And so I was really pleased to see Hillary begin by talking about her dad. Did that really, to me, that was the most memorable part of the evening. She talked about her dad, the guy who cut draperies, the small business owner, the guy who, you know, made it in America, right? The American dream. And she talked about how Donald Trump didn't pay his workers. That an architect built a beautiful building for him, still a beautiful building, he just wouldn't pay him. Now, this is something we've talked about on the air before. I brought up the USA Today article that mentioned the 3,500 lawsuits from people that Donald hadn't paid. Now, I want you to think about that. 3,500 lawsuits. Now, how many people did he not pay that just gave up? That just said, hey, you know, Donald's too powerful. He's a billionaire. He'll beat me in court. I don't have $100,000 to pay for a lawyer to try to get my money back. I'll just eat the cost. 3,500 is the tip of the iceberg. You have to think it's at least 10 times that much. This is a guy who regularly doesn't pay his bills, just like this is a guy who doesn't regularly pay his taxes. And I guess I don't think enough of the Trump supporters, and let's face it, his base is uneducated, rural, white men. That's the heart of his base. And many of them work very hard and wouldn't like it if someone didn't pay him. So even if racism or hatred of women, misogyny, xenophobia, hatred of foreigners, even if that doesn't faze you, you might not be too keen on the billionaire that doesn't pay his bills. And so I just felt that was, I think that's where it was all downhill for Trump after that fact. Again, I'm going to invite you to call in at 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let me just quickly go through my impressions of the debate, and then what can I say? It's all you. I'll just some of these come from newspaper articles to remind me of different things. Let's see what I got here. See, you can actually see what I'm doing on Facebook. I usually don't rely on newspapers, but there's so many little points, I don't want to forget them all. He pointed out that he thought it was just business not to pay workers. He said that it was smart not to pay his taxes. I don't wonder if most Americans think it's smart not to pay your taxes. I wonder if most Americans think that they could get away with the things that Donald Trump has gotten away with. He talked about the fact that he began his career with just a little loan, just a little bit of money, just $14 million by his father, and later pointed out that his debt of $650 million to foreign banks and others wasn't a big deal. It was a small amount of money. I just don't think most Americans think $14 million, and certainly not $650 million, is a small amount of money. Let's see, what else do we have here? I liked her trumped up trickle down economics. Did you like that line? I thought that was a good line because that, in essence, is what he's doing. I don't know about all these working class people that think he's looking out for them. He's not. In fact, the statistics show, the studies show, that if you're a single parent, you will pay more under Donald Trump's plan. And if you have children, one fifth of middle class people will pay more under Donald Trump's plan. So that's not particularly good. Now, if you're a billionaire, you will save lots of money. What else? She said he was in bankruptcy 6 times. That's true. He said he was only in bankruptcy 4 times. He considers 3 bankruptcies that were filed one soon after another to be only one. That's the difference there. What else do we have here? Oh, and it is true what she said, which is that his plan would, under a number of well-respected economists say, his plan would lose 3.5 million jobs and would likely cause incomes to stagnate, debt to explode, stock prices to plummet, and also that it would lead to a likely recession. Her plan, the report said, would add 3.2 million jobs, which combined with anticipated job creation of current law would be more than 10 million jobs. Now, to be fair, the report also says the Republican Congress is unlikely to pass either her plan or his plan, which, by the way, gives you a good reason why we need more Democrats in Congress. What else to talk about? There's a general demeanor. I mean, did anyone notice that she smiled and she was calm while he was sniffing a lot and making faces and getting really upset? She was getting under his skin. She was needling him, and I think quite successfully. In fact, I think that the candidate that shows anger usually loses, and the candidate that shows optimism usually wins. Hillary's saying America's great. It can be better. We can do better. It's pretty damn good, by the way, to have under 5% unemployment and under 2% inflation. Ronald Reagan used to talk about the misery index under Jimmy Carter. That was inflation plus unemployment. It was well in the 20s then. Now it's under 7. That's pretty good. But she makes clear there are lots of things we can do better. She's not going to stop. She gave a whole bunch of things like family medical leave, ways to make things easier for middle class people. But her basic view is America's great and she can make it better. Donald Trump's view is that America is not great. We are this wasteland, this post-apocalyptic vision where presumably gangs of blacks and Mexicans and Muslims are wandering the streets, killing and raping everybody. Now, that dystopian vision may be appropriate for some kind of flick, right? You've seen those post-apocalyptic New York science fictions. But I don't think that's what most America thinks we are. I think they think we're doing okay, but we can do better. Although I do want to make a side point, though. It relates to the question on race. When asked what could be done to improve race relations, Hillary Clinton talked about systemic racism. She talked about ways to train police to understand everyone's racist impulses. Donald Trump talked about law and order, right? If we were just tougher, if we just put more blacks in prison, we could solve this. Now, of course, that's been declared unconstitutional. But the way they did it in New York was they would stop virtually every brown-skinned person. More than 90% would have done nothing wrong. That is, in essence, what a police state is about. And as Hillary points out, when that was stopped, crime continued to go down in New York. So it doesn't even help solve things. It just makes people really angry. But I'd really like you to compare. I want you to do a little thought experiment here. And then we'll go to break and get a bunch of your calls. I still have a lot more to say this hour. I want to do a little thought experiment. I would argue that rural white America and urban minority America have a lot in common. I would say that there's a lot of poverty in inner cities, and there's a lot of poverty in rural America. There's a lot of crime, and most of that crime is based on drugs, right? You know, crack epidemic in the inner city, opioid epidemic in rural white America. And I have to tell you, I feel bad for both populations. I think people who are poor, people who are struggling, often turn to drugs as a way out of their misery. Obviously, it's a one-way ticket to a worse life, but it makes people forget their troubles for a while. And there are two ways to go about it. One way is to give people jobs and education and encourage them to leave the drugs, have rehabilitation centers, ways to get off drugs. And the other way is law and order. Lock them up. Get all those drug users and throw them in jail. Now, I think the same solution is true whether you're white or black, whether you live in rural America or whether you live in the inner city. I think the solution is that we should help people get jobs and help people get off drugs. But have you noticed that Donald's solution is different, whether you're white or black, rural or urban? For the blacks, it's law and order. It's tough. It's throw everybody in jail. We already have, by the way, the highest percentage of people behind bars per capita as any nation in the world. So I don't think the drug war is working. But I haven't heard him say lock them up for rural white people who are stuck in opioid addiction. Maybe the answer is we shouldn't be locking anyone up who's addicted to drugs, at least not in a jail cell, but in a rehabilitation place to help them get better lives. Maybe the answer is it's not a question of race. The various drugs used by people in poverty may be different based on race, but the problem of poverty exists. And the more you get rid of poverty, I would say the more you get rid of a lot of the drug problems and the gang warfare. Anyway, I do want to know what you think. I want to know who you think won the debate and why, what your impressions were of the debate. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Lots to talk about. 888-488-MARK. What was your favorite moment from the debate? I'll give you mine, hands down. It's the point where he said, you know, I was out on the campaign trail while you were holed up in your hotel room preparing for the debate. And she responded, yes, Donald, I prepared for B. I'm messing up her own line. She did a better job than I did. You know what? Play it. Play it. You got it?
Tell you. You look at the inner cities, and I just left Detroit, and I just left Philadelphia, and I just, you know, you've seen me. I've been all over the place. You decided to stay home, and that's okay. But I will tell you, I've been all over, and I've met some of the greatest people I'll ever meet within these communities, and they are very, very upset with what their politicians have told them and what their politicians have done.
Mr. Trump,
I think Donald just criticized me for preparing for this debate. And yes, I did. And you know what else I prepared for? I prepared to be president. And I think that's a good thing.
People clapped. Wow, they weren't supposed to clap. The audience isn't supposed to say anything, although they didn't obey that very well. That was my favorite moment of the debate. I was like, yes, and she is. She's prepared to be president of the United States. I got a ton of callers on the line. I want you all to hang on because I'm only going to get to you one at a time. But if you will hang on, I will get to each and every one of you. I promise. Let's go to Joe in Phoenix, line three. Hey, Joe.
Hi. So the common criticism of Hillary on the left is that she's a globalist. But I think Trump's performance yesterday and, you know, almost every statement he had to say reminds us that he's a throwback to the time of the robber barons, where there is no recourse for the common man for grievances against the wealthy and powerful, and he thinks that's what America needs to return to entirely.
Yeah, replaced by billionaire rules. When Hillary says you didn't pay your workers, he says that's business, and when she says you didn't pay your taxes, he says that's smart. And I don't know that he realizes that non-billionaires don't have the option to declare six bankruptcies. They have to pay their credit card debts. They have to pay their student loans. He doesn't have to suffer the consequences of making bad decisions. And I don't think he realizes that that doesn't look good to non-billionaires. I don't think he gets it.
Right. And then another thing that they touched on was violent crime, specifically in urban communities. The reason stop and frisk could be seen to work is they were locking up the segment of the population that's likely to use guns in crime. So as long as there are stiffer sentences for violent criminals instead of nonviolent drug offenders, crime will go down. If you put people away for shooting people rather than having a pound of marijuana.
But you know what they do? They do that in the cities where black people live, and they don't do that in the country where white people live, because the country also has lots of drugs and lots of guns and lots of crime. But that they're focusing on the cities. They're not focusing
on the opioid
addictions.
Very narrowly about that cohort of criminals that use guns in violent crime. Not the stop and frisk, I'm sure, busts a lot more people just for bags of weed. But
actually, 90% of the people that were stopped under stop and frisk did nothing wrong at all. More than 90%. Joe,
right,
I got to take a break. You're welcome to stay on with me if you like. And I got a whole host of other callers, too. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
To the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Give us a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. What was your favorite part of the debate? Lisa on line four from Phoenix. What was your favorite part, Lisa?
My favorite part was when, I can't remember what, she says, I guess everything's going to be my fault. And he says, why not? And she just... She smiles, you know. You know what I mean? It was perfect because she was like, you know, I know everything's my fault, and she smiled through it, and I told I don't know who picked up the phone, but I told him, you know, the perfect thing about the whole debate was that she continued to smile. She blew away the whole, she never smiles, you know what I mean? And she looks great when she smiles.
She does.
I mean,
Yeah, I know. I actually think it matters. One of the things I always try to do, and listen, I go on Fox a lot, and I argue with a lot of conservatives. I'm kind of a token liberal there. And I believe that you can win with a smile. I think when you get angry, you lose the debate. And he got angry, right, and she got happy. And that's actually, when I was on Australian TV this morning, there's a link that you can actually watch at facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk. You'll see the person that I was debating there. I was happy and smiling, and she was actually quite upset and kind of had this dour, this angry look on her face. And I think a happy warrior wins the battle. I mean, all you had to do, you'd have to listen to a word, take a screenshot, and see Hillary smiling and see Donald Trump frowning, and you knew who was winning the debate. And that line that you're talking about, I mean, it's absolutely right. It made me laugh, too, because she's saying, first he says, you know, for 30 years, America, da, da, and I'm thinking to myself, Donald, Hillary wasn't president for the last 30 years. You know, some you can blame on Bill Clinton, some on Barack Obama, some on George W. Bush, and a ton on Congress, and some on the Supreme Court. And it was almost like you were queen of the world, Hillary. You know, why didn't you solve all America's problems? But then she said, I thought beautifully, sarcastically, I guess I'm going to be blamed for everything. And then he said, and I don't even think he meant to say it. I think Donald Trump has this problem where something that comes in his mind, he just says, whether it makes sense or not. And his first thought was, why not? You know, I am going to blame you for everything because that looks good politically. And I think in hindsight, someone would have said, Donald, don't say those thoughts. They crush your mind. One of my also favorite parts, speaking of her sort of lighthearted touch, was I think it's when he said that she didn't have the temperament to be president, which was hilarious given right. Donald Trump's temperament. And she did what people are calling the shoulder shimmy. Did you see that? She was like, you know, she kind of moved her shoulders back and forth with a big smile. Like, I think I'm ready. I think I'm okay. And it was a great way to mock his over-the-top attacks. It was beautiful.
She mocked him in such a, like this happy, this...
Right, lighthearted way.
Smith Kills way, you know what I mean? It was great. And, you know, I want to say one more thing. I'm a single mom of two kids, little kids. My kids are 9 and 2. Mm-hmm. And I don't get child support, you know, but I'm not on government aid because thankfully I make enough to support us, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm also going full-time to school, and I'm already in, you know, lots of student debt. And the fact that Trump is what his economic plan is suggesting, or you know what I mean, it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, no. Let me tell you something. He's going to raise your taxes. His economic plan will raise the taxes on every single parent in America. Some married couples will save some money, but if you're a single mom, I'm sorry, Lisa, he's going to raise your taxes because billionaires need more money, you see. He believes that estate taxes are too high. He thinks that this tax paid by 2 out of every 1,000 Americans, the absolute richest 0.2%, is too much. And so he has to make you pay more, Lisa, so that Donald Trump's family can get more. And that's part of his plan. What? And most people haven't talked about it until Hillary raised it just last night, which is why, again, I think she did such a good job. But you're right. He's going to raise your taxes.
I just don't understand how somebody can sit there and be like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. How is giving billionaires more money going to help the normal average 99% of America? I don't
know. Well, all I can say, Lisa, is you live in Arizona. Arizona is a red state that every now and then Hillary was ahead a few weeks back, a few months back. Please talk to your fellow Americans in Arizona. Because if Hillary wins Arizona, this race is over.
We got into it so bad. I mean, I'm a Looney Tune. I'm a filthy mouth liberal. I mean, you name it. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and it's really sad when people put emotions above their facts. Just say, you know, I'm sorry, Donald Trump will raise your taxes. And if that's what and Donald Trump will charge more for your kids to go to college or vocational school. And if you think you should pay more because Eric Trump Jr. needs a new gold-plated toilet seat, well, we disagree on that. But you can pay for Eric Trump's gold-plated toilet seat. Frankly, I'd rather pay for my kids to go to college and see what that person says. Because most Trump-loving, I've found, is emotional, not factual. And it tends to be tends to be racist or Islamophobic or xenophobic or misogynist or homophobic. It tends to be all these people who aren't straight white men are taking over instead of, well, let's just give all Americans an equal shot. All, you know, including rural white Americans, frankly, who need help as well. So keep struggling. I want to one day turn Arizona blue. Lisa, I need your help. Okay.
Oh, definitely. I'm out there. I'm going to start trying to get some people to register to vote.
Good.
If there's National Sister Day, get out there and register.
Good. Get out there and do that, because if we win Arizona, that'll be a big surprise, and I think it'll tell the Republicans, hey, we shouldn't have a racist candidate anymore. It doesn't win us any votes. In fact, it loses us votes, and Arizona would prove the point. So thanks for your call, Lisa.
Right.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Tammy. Go ahead, real quick. Yeah, one more thing to say.
I've seen a lot of Gary Johnson signs in my neighborhood. I haven't seen a lot of Trump. I think I've seen one Trump sign. So, I mean, in a way, I guess, you know, it's good you're going to vote for Gary because he's not going to win, but that still takes away from Clinton. So.
Yeah, I would talk to them because Arizona is a state we can win. And I would talk to your Gary Johnson neighbors and say, look, what is it your reason that you're voting for Gary over Hillary? We all know why we're not voting for Donald Trump, who's completely unprepared to be president. But, you know, Gary Johnson, I mean, he's no Donald Trump. he's not a crazy man. But, you know, he doesn't seem to have much knowledge about foreign policy. He wants to, libertarians want to cut Social Security. They want to cut Medicaid. They want to cut Medicare. They want to cut a lot of these programs that sustain the middle class. And, you know, ask them, do you want your Social Security? Do you like your Medicare? Because I don't know that everyone realizes that Gary Johnson's proposals really are, they're out of the mainstream. They're not as bad as Donald Trump. Nothing is. But hopefully you can help encourage them to vote for Hillary instead, because they're kind of throwing their vote away.
Mark, one quick point that Lisa brought up. Today is obviously, like you said, National Voter Registration Day. People can go to iwillvote.com to make sure they're registered. And one great tweet about that from Representative John Lewis, who obviously, as people know, is a civil rights hero. He said on his tweet, "Today is National Voter Registration Day. I was beaten, left bloody and unconscious so that every person could register to vote. Do your part."
Beautifully put. That is Mark Grimaldi, my producer. And well said, Mark. And thank you for calling in, Lisa. I appreciate it. Let me go to Tammy in Albuquerque on line 5. Hey, Tammy, how are you?
Fine.
What are your thoughts on the debate?
I thought it was great when she said, "And I came prepared to be president."
Yeah, that was my favorite part, too.
Yes. And I think I watched it, you know, from start to finish, and I think she was great. I think she won the debate 100%. The pundits are giving them a, you know, that they were equal or he was,
you know, pundits, I got to tell you, even the Republicans, I don't know many people saying it was equal. Maybe Trump, you know, people, but people who are fair-minded, virtually everyone says she kicked it out of the park. I mean, he just looked uncomfortable. The irony is he was attacking her stamina, and yet by the end of the debate, he looked like beaten up. Like if it were a prize fight,
yeah.
They would have called it and said, yeah.
Whatever he was sniffing, I don't know what it was, but I noticed it immediately that, you know, that his breathing was just unbelievable. I didn't know he was going to go into a panic attack or what, you know?
I don't know. You know, I hate to spread the rumors around that I've seen on Twitter. Some people were saying, is it cocaine?
Oh, yeah,
I've seen him. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that any of that's true, but he clearly was uncomfortable. And go ahead.
The one other thing I want to bring up is I've been an administrator, you know, I'm retired now, but men are so afraid of a strong woman.
Some are. This one's not. But some are.
They're threatened, and that's what I've been watching. I said everybody is threatened by this strong, intelligent woman who's capable to do a job and will do it.
And so, I can't wait. I think she's has the potential to be the best president of my lifetime. I am so excited.
Amen.
I like Barack Obama, but I actually like Hillary even better. Sorry, Obama fans. I know that's going to offend some of you. I like Obama. Mm-hmm. I just think she's so strong and so quick and so careful. She's very careful. She gets the details right, and if she gets it wrong, she'll fix it. And I want that in a president. I want someone who's really prepared. I want someone who doesn't get any sleep because they're studying and the briefing books late into the night. I want a nerd as president. Can we please have a nerd as president? I love nerds.
Yes.
Maybe because I am one, but I do love nerds, and she's brilliant. And just to have a president that intelligent.
She's prepared to walk right in. She doesn't need Mike Pence in the background to be Darth Vader.
That's for
to
sure.
Be her, you know, she doesn't need somebody holding her up from behind. She's capable all by herself.
I hear you. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Mary in Arizona on line one. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hey, Mark, and just so you know, Arizona, we're a lot bluer than people think we are. Okay, my favorite moment was the shimmy shoulder. Because
you like the shimmy shoulder.
He's got the best temperament, was so laughable. You know, so, yeah, that was really funny. I liked your moment, too. Okay, I really hope Hillary people are listening, because I think there's a couple ways that she could have framed things a little better, like on the trade deal, you know, and she could have tied this to the whole 30-year lie. I'm so sick of him saying that. He says it at every rally, too. Yeah, she's been in the public eye for 30 years, but she didn't vote for NAFTA. They thought it was going to be a good thing, and I agree that could be renegotiated and be better. You know, I do what reasonable, serious people do. I study the issues. Initially, I said that TPP was the gold standard until they finished negotiating it, and there were a few provisions in there, like other countries being able to sue us and break our environmental laws, that, yeah, I can't support that. Just like I didn't vote for CAFTA when I actually could vote.
She did mention that one. She did mention CAFTA, that she didn't vote for it. She did say that.
Yeah,
but you're right. She could have done a better job. Part of the problem is, and you're absolutely right, he has this notion that she was queen of the world or queen of the United States for the last 30 years. She was first lady. That gave her some influence, but she wasn't in charge. She was one senator from New York, which gave her some influence, but she wasn't in charge. And she was secretary of state. When your job as secretary of state is to promote the president's policies. Ask Colin Powell when he went to the United Nations talking about weapons of mass destruction, if he regrets saying that. He has said he does regret saying that. Look, President Obama, for right or for wrong, and feel free to criticize him, supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership. When she worked for him as his Secretary of State, she has two choices. She can either promote it or she can resign. So she did her job. Obviously, if it were completely anathema to everything she believes in, you know, then she should resign. But I think TPP, and this is something that I don't know, a lot of people don't want to hear. I don't think it's black or white. I think it's gray. I think it has good elements in it. I think it has bad elements in it. Frankly, as and you know, I'm a Virginia state delegate. I'm a state representative myself. We get laws all the time that have good in it and bad in it. And we have to decide, does the bad outweigh the good or the good outweigh the bad? In TPP, I think a lot like Hillary, which is that the bad slightly outweighs the good, because there's a lot of good in it too. So on balance, I'd be against TPP, but I wouldn't throw it all out. There's a lot of good stuff that's in there, particularly dealing with intellectual property and dealing with the more advanced countries of Asia, places like Australia and Japan, who I don't mind dealing with on an equal basis, because they don't undercut our wages the way Vietnam or Malaysia do. So I think there's good and bad in it. It's just really hard to give a clear gray answer when people are looking for black and white. It's going to be a tough question for her, and you're right, she needs a better answer for it. She needs a quicker way to just say, look, President Obama supported it. I supported him. There is a lot of good in it. There's a lot of bad in it. I think the bad outweighs the good. I don't know if that's enough. She'd probably be criticized for that.
Yeah.
But something like
and
that.
And on his taxes, I don't know why nobody says this. You know, his lame excuse, even though the IRS says there's no legitimate reason why he cannot release his tax returns now, and his excuse is always, oh, my attorney told me not to do it. So, okay, well, if you're being audited on the last 3 years, typically they go back 3 years at a time, how about releasing all your tax returns prior to that?
Exactly. Because they can't harm you on those.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. I almost thought Lester Holt might bring that up. That, all right, will you release all your tax returns where I think it's 7 years, actually. But before 7 years, they cannot bring it up again. Bring up all your taxes up to 2008 or whatever. Bring those up. Right. I thought that was a great opportunity for Lester Holt. He didn't raise it. One more thing is that if you are audited by the IRS, and everyone has confirmed this to me, you get a letter by the IRS. Dear Donald Trump, you are being audited. Please bring all your, you know, boxes of documents and so forth to this address, so forth. But he has not turned over simply the letter that says he's being audited. And you know what? Between you and me and everyone listening in 42 markets, I don't think he's being audited. If he is, why would he turn over the letter and say, hey, I'm being audited?
Show on there.
Why won't he show that letter?
Came out, I can't remember who wrote the article, investigative reporter, that I think it was in 2005 or 2006, he actually qualified for a state refund.
That's right.
In the state of New York.
He did.
Because he made under 500 million.
No, under 500,000. Under 500,000.
I'm sorry, under 500,000.
That's exactly right. I don't think he's been paying a lot of taxes. I think Hillary Clinton's absolutely right. And when he was asked, he went to the spin room to try to fix everything afterwards, which a candidate's never done before.
Yeah.
And they asked him, hey, Donald, have you ever paid federal income taxes? He didn't answer the question. He should have just said, sure, of course I have. But I'm not so sure that he has. If he has, I'll bet he's paid very little. Why don't they just ask Donald a simple question? How much did you pay in taxes last year? Don't even show us your returns, Donald. I know you don't want to show us about your ties to Putin and Russian banks. Just tell us, how much did you pay in taxes last year? It's a pretty easy number to find. It's right there on line, whatever, 42 or 62, whatever it is, the tax return. But he hasn't done that.
No, because they're still auditing, so he doesn't have
to. Well, how much did he's on the return that he filed? That's the question.
Yeah.
I got to take a break. Thanks for calling in. You can stay on if you want, but I got to take a break. 888-488-MARK, 888-488. Last chance to call in, folks. Call in now. We'll be right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. Just got a few minutes left and a lot of calls. Let's see how many I can take. Paul in Massachusetts, line two. How are you, Paul?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, Mark. I'm good. So what I told your screener is that I don't watch debates because I already know everything I need to know about these guys. But I watched last night just because it was a major historical event. And it's just been so interesting. I really enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
It's a little difficult to listen to you just because you're such a Hillary supporter.
And, sorry. I am what I am.
No, don't be sorry. Just don't be sorry. I wanted to explain, like, why, even if I lived in a swing state, which I don't, why I would be leaving the presidential selection blank. I've never voted for a Republican in my life, and I never will. But I cannot ever vote for anyone who voted to authorize the Iraq invasion. It's just that simple.
Well, I hear you. I hear you. Obviously, she has said that was a mistake, and she regrets it. I don't know. I mean, maybe you think it's – obviously you do think it's such a major mistake that you're willing to invalidate everything else she's done over the course of her life, helping children and families. I guess all I can say is that was at that time when – and I remember that time because I was working in the House of Representatives at that time. The Republicans were basically saying, look, we're going to have this terrible terrorist attack, and if you don't vote for the war – you know, you're causing it. One thing you should look at, though, is look at her actual statement. What she says is she's voting for authorization, and the president doesn't have to use it. And, in fact, she encourages him not to use it. But, look, I know you think I'm defending everything she says. It was a mistake. I was opposed to the Iraq War. She should have been. I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of people were wrong at that time. I don't think it's enough to disqualify her, but I respect your opinion. I certainly do. To my other callers, I'll get to you tomorrow, I promise, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. For now, this is Mark Levine. This is The Inside Scoop, and I'm signing off.